You know, they say all men are created equal, but you look at me and you look at Small Joe, and you can see that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestler, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, and I'm not normal. So you got a 25% at best at beating me. And then you add Kurt Angle to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, the three-way at Sacrifice, you got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But I got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because Kurt Angle knows he can't beat me and he's not even going to try. So Samoa Joe, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus my 25% chance and you got an 8 1/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%. I got 141 2/3 chance of winning at Sacrifice. See, Joe, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for you at Sacrifice.
Welcome one and all once again to the most electrifying show in all of internet dumb, the People's Show, the People's Choice, Nerds on the Rocks, episode 121. Joining us this week, we have Wessie.
You know, the most enjoyable part of Raw for everyone was The Rock running getting holy crap beat out of him by the Shield. That was so enjoyable.
We have Ashley.
And you get a hug! And you get a hug. And you get a hug. And wait, you're Vince McMahon. You don't get to touch me. Please go away.
And we have Nicholas.
I'm the best in the world.
Okay.
I realized too late to look up another promo that I could do as Bane.
So you could have done Cena's Sunday morning promo. Okay, we're going to jump into here because one is Cena, one the Royal Rumble is the main event of the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And the idea of hyping up a promo for somebody to give about the Royal Rumble match as your main event was stupid.
That was ridiculous. That was so dumb.
I have a theory. My theory is that John Cena has completely fucking lost it. Like, legitimately. This was not in character. Because John Cena's mind has snapped to the point that he really honestly believed the coolest thing he could possibly do would be go down to the ring and talk to people about what they do on Sunday mornings.
That was the most random promo I have ever heard. I'm like,
I think the man is nuts. I think he's legitimately lost his mind.
I mean, at least Stone Cold, he brought beers to the ring. Was like John Cena just drinking a ton and just went out there and just
I don't think that was drinking. I also don't think it was drugs. I think he's just fucking nuts.
I'll accept any explanation at this point.
I think Cena just realized he can do or say anything and the same people are gonna boo and cheer
he
him no matter
really
what.
Can.
He
really
so can. That was just his test to see if he can still do whatever the hell he wanted.
Next week, he should just come out and start going, hug bees! Hug bees! Hug bees! For like 10 straight minutes and see if they cut off them.
Now that,
I don't think they would.
Good Lord, now John Cena is the next person who just can say, Fruity Pebbles! Boo! Yay! Sunday morning!
Ooh, not okay. Even Fruity Pebbles, because that has a referential point. Like,
yeah.
I mean, hug these. If you watched Freakazoid, you get it.
Hug
these. But
yes. Oh God! Thank you for reminding me of that.
John Cena running around waving his hands, going hug these, hug these, hug these.
You know, if he does do that, he has to do the fake flying thing too. He has to. He has to just fake fly around the ring, yelling that, and I would be so happy.
What they should start doing is have Cena go to the movies every Friday and come back on Monday with his reviews of the movies, since he's, you know, he's promoing Call of Duty on his promos now and stuff like that. You could have John Cena reviews the best of cinema classics.
Oh my god, that's the new. Oh no, you realize, Earl, that's going to be the new WWE YouTube channel show. Since they're canceling everything right now, it seems they'll probably have John Cena have a movie review show.
I think
he should do it on Raw. I think like in the middle of hyping a match, he should just suddenly go, "So I saw the Hunger Games last week. Guys, that movie is awesome. Can we talk about that? That's awesome. Did you guys read the books? I haven't read the books. But it's awesome."
God, that would be 15 minutes on the Raw opening.
But then I feel like the only way to make it better is to have Ricardo Rodriguez come down and be like, "I read the books. You haven't read the books?" And then you have John Cena and Ricardo Rodriguez's book club.
It would be more entertaining than Miz TV.
Ouch.
I would only be happier if their book club then decided to read Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
And going back to Cena and the Rumble, that promo made no sense. It served no purpose whatsoever. And I have to say, it was so kind of them to have like 15 people come out and stand in the ring and not do anything.
That was so random. Suddenly, here it's like, okay, you know, every wrestler you haven't seen on Raw in a while, or just everyone we just want to do something with, have them pop up. Theme song play.
Yeah, it was like a who's still working here? I think I saw A-Rai.
Hey, I saw you.
Oh, really? I completely missed A-Rai because I didn't care.
Yeah, I saw Yoshitatsu in it. Here, hey, Yoshitatsu, hi.
Yoshitatsu still works there. I think JTG was there.
What?
It continues to amaze me that JTG is still with that company. does everyone just forget about him and that's how he keeps his job?
Yep.
I assume so. This is probably why Vince fires people in the spring, because they wrote him out for the Royal Rumble. He's like, this guy still works here? Fire.
Because last year they didn't do a big WrestleMania fire, so this year I think we are going to see a big, giant post-WrestleMania firing.
Who the fuck is this guy? We don't know Vince. He's been on the roster for years. He's actually dead. Fire him anyway!
I mean, jumping around topic, that made me think, and this is also kind of weird. I understand it is true to a degree, but it was odd that they brought up the fact that Vicky's on Raw. Partially because technically in WWE first, she's been married again, and she's had like three other boyfriends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's odd that they bring up the fact that she's a widow after the fact, but...
The only reason it made sense to me was that Paul Heyman was involved.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, if Paul Heyman's involved, that makes sense.
Makes sense if you're trying to play cheesy, but it's just really weird that they would have went there. Since, I mean, you can't really do that when you kind of push her as this person who uses her power to see for younger guys and get them over.
Heyman's one of the few who could probably do that and actually make that work. He is... one of the few.
Yes, it was odd. Not odd, but that's... I would have preferred that segment started ended the show than what we ended up getting.
Yeah.
Not only that, I mean, Cena's promo was awful, but then everybody coming out and just saying, "I'm going to win the Royal Rumble," didn't help it at all.
I'm going to win the Royal Rumble.
What I enjoyed was that at the same time, like, three different people on my Twitter feed, including myself, made a joke about, let's see how many mics the WWE actually uses.
Yeah, I saw that because on my feed, three other people made the exact same joke. I'm like, you've got to be... Like, that's why I just said...
I did that as well, because what happened is, like, if you saw it, the staircase had a bunch of microphones that everybody was even when they went
to... Oh, I didn't even notice that!
That's great!
So it was like nothing but microphones, and I'm like, and then you know they ran out of microphones. They're like, okay, everybody just go out there now.
We're out of microphones. Quick, everyone to the ring.
Does anybody have another microphone? Somebody look in Randy Orton's gym bag.
Check his spare pants. He doesn't use them for anything else.
Randy Orton owns pants.
He doesn't have spare pants. Yeah, he doesn't have a pant, let alone multiple pants.
Yes, he doesn't even get plural pants. It's just pants.
Yeah, he's not even like Zack Ryder used to, where he wore like the one leg and then like he doesn't even have those.
Oh, Zack Ryder.
Randy Orton lost his pants in his latest wellness pilot.
So that's what happened.
Well, Randy, you can continue wrestling, but you're not allowed to wear pants. Wait, he's not actually being punished like this. He's really cool with this. Oh.
But yeah, I mean, other than it being the Royal Rumble match, did that final segment sell anybody on the show?
No.
No, but it sold me on watching how slowly Great Khali gets to the ring. I really feel like one of these days they should have a match that's just a race between Great Khali and Big Show.
Aww.
At the top of the ramp to the ring. And the first one to actually get in there wins.
And it takes him a long time to get there. It takes him forever to get into the ring.
Yes.
But yeah, there was that. There was, yeah, Ryback made a random appearance. I thought he was going to get the big Royal Rumble. Like, that was the other thing. It's like, it just ended. Like, there was no... Like, usually you kind of have people get tossed out, and like, there's a couple of people left standing. But it was just like, everybody was still in the ring, and it was like, oh, okay. This is kind of, like, stupid.
Everybody's just getting thrown out, or just doing whatever. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, usually it's like, oh, it's Taker and Kane left in the ring. Are these two the dominant forces going into the Royal Rumble? And it's
nope.
Like, nope. Everybody's still in here.
Nope. Screw this.
I mean, maybe they didn't want to tip their hands and give a forerunner. I mean, it seems like since he did get an entire 3 hours promoting his promo, that Cena's the forerunner. But.
Nah, well, considering what happened last year when everyone thought that Chris Jericho was going to win and suddenly. And suddenly became Sheamus? Okay. Yeah. It's sort of like now become the rule of the Rumble. Like, that's when you think you know who's going to win. Nope, they don't want you to think. Like, just pretty much go in there knowing, yeah, they can shift that on a dime.
I think it's going to be the 3MD because they've got a 10% chance of winning. Heath Slater's mom
said that. It's true. It's math.
Yeah. Come on, who would want to see Heath Slater? That would be the most, that'd be the funniest Royal Rumble ending ever of Heath Slater winning the Rumble.
Especially if it was like nobody told Heath Slater he was going to win.
Like the Caitlyn situation, like suddenly, huh?
What? What?
I won?
What did I do?
Awesome!
Shit!
But yeah, she made the best of that. The other, I guess, Royal Rumble story that was somewhat interesting is it looks like Dolph Ziggler's getting that Royal Rumble push. That one person. You would hope so. But the person who comes in early into the Rumble and outasses a bunch of people, impressive. You know, Shawn Michaels got it. Who else? Jericho got it 1 year.
Ray
got it. Fear got it. It's a great. It tends
Austin.
To be a great. Austin. Austin never. Oh, that
Austin,
one was kind of.
Yeah, Austin
well, that
got
was,
it.
That was the year that Austin was number one and Vince was number two, which was.
Yeah, but I was going to say Austin and Vince like, skipped out half the match.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it was hilarious.
It was funny, but you know, and I'm happy they kind of avoided that this year. I really hate when there's only one possible, like one or two possible winners, like the year The Rock won. It was only him.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the year that Rock and Big Show eliminated each other and Big Show botched? Or Rock botched and his feet hit the floor, so they had to do the four-way for WrestleMania to cover it up?
Yeah.
What?
Well, there's a lot of reasons it deserved at WrestleMania, but that was one of them. Because, yeah, The Rock is extremely tall, so I guess when he went over, his feet touched. And it's not the first time they had a botched Royal Rumble ending. The 2005 one was botched as well. I think Batista lost his balance.
Oh, yeah. See, I still love... It was not a Royal Rumble match. It was Mick Foley in one of his books is talking about botching in a match.
Oh,
someone
God.
Someone told him not to worry about botching in that match because they had seen a guy... There were two people left in this Battle Royale, mm-hmm. and somebody threw a cup or something from the audience, and it hit the guy on the back of the head, and he thought that was his cue to go out, so he eliminated himself.
Yes! I remember.
And they're like, no matter what you do, Mick, it can't be worse than that.
I can't remember which book that was, too, because that, I remember that was actually hilarious story.
Yeah, so, there's that. Who do you, I mean, exact scene, but who do you want to win?
Dolph Ziggler.
It would be interesting, I think, to have somebody who has both the money and Money in the Bank briefcase and the number one contendership at WrestleMania.
It's exactly for that reason, because what I want to happen is they go through this, whoever's the champion at the time, if it's Del Rio or Sheamus or whoever, they go through this whole match, and Dolph, you know, it comes back and forth. And then Dolph loses. And then immediately gets up, hits his finisher on the dude, cashes in his briefcase, and then wins.
That would be awesome.
That'd be really funny.
It'd be fantastic. I would mark out, if that's the term.
That is the term.
Yes.
See, I feel like, yeah, they're making it clear that Cena is the clear favorite. And come on, you know they want Cena Rock 2 with me.
Yeah, but, I mean, there are other ways to set up Cena Rock 2.
Well, yeah, but...
Especially if they want to protect
her. Do it in an awful way because they hate us.
Mm-hmm. And really, I was actually talking about this with somebody the other day. And really, if they want to do Cena Rock 2, they don't need a belt on either of them.
They don't.
They really don't because...
No, but they're going to go with the stakes are higher this time.
Yeah, right.
The homophobia is more erratic.
Because Cena needs that inspirational story because God knows this guy. He can't overcome the odds enough of having to... He's going after the championship he hasn't had in a year and a half against the guy who beat him at WrestleMania. This is his chance for redemption, even though he spent all your 5 minutes upset about this shot.
Mm-hmm.
I earned my title shot. How did you earn that again, Rock? How? Huh?
You said, I'm going to face the champion at the Royal Rumble. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, this segues into the WWE Championship match, in that A Rock still has no purpose to want this match other than, like, I was guaranteed it.
Mm-hmm.
For Punk, it's not even about who he's fighting. It's about proving that he's the best and taking on all challenges. So he has that story built in. The Rock could have just said, you know, like, I was a great one at one time. And he could have said, you know, like, I wanted to throw in this guy. But it's all like, oh, Vicky's a biatch and Paul Heyman has mantis titties or whatever.
Twinkie tits,
I'm sorry. I swear,
guys,
the guy...
Guys, gay. I'm the Rock.
Yeah, I know, right?
Gosh.
But I swear, like, does he go to catering? He goes to catering. I said chicken already. I said fruity pepper. Oh, Twinkies. Got it. Okay, let's go to the ring.
He's just going down what he had to eat that day.
Taking
this whole Rock is cooking thing too far. Rock is cooking is a good thing. What the Rock is eating will be an insult.
You know, I've never even made that connection in my head.
How? Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's right. And since there was that WWE cookbook in existence, then, yeah, the Rock has... We have technically had a Rock cooking something, so...
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, he also did the commercials for Chef Boyardee's beefaroni.
Pancakes. Banana pancakes. Getting Chevy with the Rock!
Your brony pie. On the bright side,
he first in that song he recorded for the one WWE.
Oh, Pi!
Oh,
that Pi song he did.
Oh,
God. WWE. Was it for original or Volume 5?
No, it was for Volume 5 because they're like The Rock's first original song, and it's all The Rock showing up at this house with these three women and eating them out. And then at one point he goes into the whole verse about the Chinese neighbor shows up. And it's like, if you thought Rock was bad now, oh my God. It's like, How did you get away with this back then?
Because they got away with everything back then.
They really did.
Val Venus was pretty much a play on all penis. The Godfather.
Yuppie, your penis!
Freaking Kai and Tai incident with Val Venus. Choppy.
Choppy.
Oh my god. Yeah, that was awful, even.
But the Rock in the song he's talking about, he's like, the Chinese neighbor tasted so good the Rock was speaking Chinese. Oh, me Reiki, or something like that.
Oh god.
Oh my
god. It's I look back and I haven't listened to it in years because that verse comes to mind and I'm like, yeah, that was bad.
Speaking of bad wrestling songs, you guys know what you heard with the pre-show opening thing for Royal Rumble is, right?
Oh god, that better be Mosky.
Yeah, it's speaking of wrestling songs that are dubious of their sexual politics.
I heard that. Who listened to Hoski? Did any?
I haven't.
I heard it. Oh god, it's pretty bad.
There was not even the part of me that at one point appreciated Zack Ryder could get me to listen to that song, because that part is too busy curling up and dying.
It was pretty ugly. I'm going to be interested. You know, the one thing I want out of this, because as you posted this last, like, if Zack Ryder is going to get pissed off and just turn heel, I'm going,
yeah,
for the love of God, just turn Zack Ryder heel.
Do something with him other than have him rehash this whole Hoski thing now that the girl that he started calling Hoski isn't even with the company.
And
they broke up a year ago. At some point, he's always been...
Get over it, man.
At some point, it's just kind of pathetic at this rate.
And it's like, he's gone, and also his YouTube show's over, so he might as well just... I was going, if there are any of his YouTube shows, does that mean they're going to finally turn him heel and be done with it?
Zack Ryder is going to go goth. Emo.
Oh, god.
You guys don't understand me. My girlfriend broke up with me, and she wasn't even my girlfriend. And I can't win a match, and they canceled my YouTube show.
And then I got thrown off a ramp, and it was the end of my push.
My hairline started sucking, so now I'm going to wear black eyeliner and fringe in my hair. And I'm not even going to wrestle. I'm just going to sit in the corner and rock back. Oh, wait, they did that with Raven already.
Yeah.
Shit. Zack Ryder cannot be the new Raven.
That would make me laugh my head off if suddenly Zack Ryder had, like, his own little, like, rape, like, his own little flock. Or, like, like his broski stable or whatever. Like, the Goskies. Yeah,
You know who Zack Ryder should be? Have you seen the meme with OK Cupid Nice Guys?
Oh, I saw that.
Oh my god, yes!
Because, I mean, if you think about it, he's making a song about a girl who never actually dated him, who broke his heart, and he's upset at her because he assumed they were in a relationship without her ever confirming it, and she's the bad guy in all of this.
You put me in the friend zone. You're never out of the friend zone.
I think that would be, and it would be the true evolution of the user gimmick that he's been working on. My biggest beef with Zack Ryder is that in the year and a half that, you know, the 2 years, he had a push for a couple. He never improved as a wrestler.
No. No, he didn't.
See, the thing is that I think you can get away with that if you're bringing something to it character-wise, but the character got stale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you're not fun to listen to and you're not fun to watch, why the fuck do I care about you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Unless you have a nice ass.
Well, okay, I wouldn't go that far, but...
I would.
But yeah, that was kind of the thing. It's like... he continued this thing on the show even after he got the U.S. title. It's like the WWE didn't give him a chance. You won a major title on their big pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Yes, that whole thing with Kane, Eve, Cena took over that angle, and he lost the title fairly quickly. But they gave you a chance, and you just kind of, you didn't kind of evolve as a performer. You come out here, you have two moves, the Broski Boot and the Ass, the Rough Ride, or whatever it's called now. And you have one catchphrase.
Penis to the face.
Basically, X-Pac 2.
And then you have a catchphrase that still doesn't make sense half the time you say it. And it's on everybody else that you're not getting over. But yeah, it's moving
on. He wouldn't even have to change that catchphrase if he did like the emo gossip, like whoa, 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 you know it. Get Linkin Park to do his theme song.
Are they still a thing?
They will always be a thing.
Yeah.
To Linkin Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just put out a new album recently.
Yeah, I thought that they just had a new one come out.
It
reminds I never had a problem with them. Out of all the terrible bands, they were the ones that actually weren't that bad.
And see, they're not a band I necessarily mind. It's just... And their collaboration, the album they did with Jay-Z was awesome. The mashup album that they did. Collision Course?
I actually didn't hear it, but I remember hearing some stuff from it, thinking, oh, this isn't half bad.
It was actually really good, but that's what happens when you take a band with Jay-Z.
Well, it's way better than the R. Kelly Jay-Z album, which was crap.
You know, it is the 10th anniversary of Ignition Remix.
What?
It is the 10th anniversary of R. Kelly's Ignition Remix.
Wow.
It's the remix to Ignition.
Excuse me, I'll be in my bunk.
So yeah, that's a thing. But yeah, going back to the WWE title match, we mentioned The Rock. But on the other side of the equation, I have to kind of since like the Survivor Series, CM Punk has been on fire with his
God.
Work. I mean, part of it was he had to speak with his mouth when he was injured for that month. But he has a target, and it's an easy target. It's like we had an entire year of Rock Cena, and they never really found an incident, a reason for those two to fight. CM Punk has found a reason for them to fight, and he didn't make it about, oh, The Rock's over here every 5 minutes. Every 5 months, I should say, or something like that. He made it legitimate, you know what, I'm the best in the world, and I'm going to prove it to you. I don't care if you're here once a year or you're here every day. And how important the title is to him and him keeping it. So, you know, if nothing else, you want to see Punk do what he does best.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, I think everybody was kind of taken aback when he did the big promo a few weeks ago, like the first big one between him and The Rock, when he pulled out that line about your arms are too short to box with God.
That was an amazing damn line.
That was
a great line in this great context of, you're like, yes, this is the CM Punk I have been fucking missing. Like, this is the guy who can pick apart your entire argument eloquently. And you're sitting there and you're like, oh, damn, I really want to like him, even though he's saying really asshole things about, you know. I'm the exact person that he's talking about in this instance. When he was telling people about, you know, when he was ripping them apart and they were applauding him, he's like, you're doing exactly what I'm telling you you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, CM Punk. I'm making a little heart with my hands now for CM Punk.
I mean, and that's what led to the great British Clay match, in which is like the first ever Clay actually got to do a really, actually really solid match for the first time in forever with CM Punk, and it's like
that's because he was in a match with CM Punk.
Exactly. Yeah. But the first time in forever is like, whoa, British Clay, damn.
Yeah, I mean,
remember, there's a reason this guy is around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even Brodus Clay, I mean, I think Brodus Clay is an actual decent wrestler when he can be, but the other thing is he got a phenomenal match out of Ryback with the TLC. I mean, granted, the TLC does cover up some of his flaws as a wrestler, but it was a phenomenal TLC match and one of the best TV matches in quite some time. So yeah, there's that. I look forward to the match. I mean, as much as he shows up once a year, his match with Cena was actually pretty solid, and I think The Rock can, you know,
yeah.
The Rock was never a great wrestler. He's never going to have the catch-as-catch-can style, but he always knew what to do in the ring, and he always knew how to entertain. He always knew timing well, and even though he oversells like nobody's business,
yeah.
He always made for an entertaining match.
So he had to say, when he took that beating from the Shield, holy crap.
He had fish face. I did not realize how much I missed The Rock's fish face.
That was awesome. His way of, I mean, if the Shield did not get a, if they weren't already, he was just like, holy crap, Rock. You made them look like gold. You made them look golden by the time that was over.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I mean, that's an obvious place where I figured they were going with the whole of the Shield interferes that Punk uses his title. I mean, it's always a cheap gimmick, but it always works because at least you know that either he's going to find a new way to cheat, or you know it's going to be a clean match. I assume there's going to be something with Brad Maddox, since him and Heyman hooked up on Raw, but. Yeah. WWE title match. I assume the second to last match on the show.
Oh, Brad Maddox.
I guess
that was great. That was fun. Brad Maddox pops up and.
Yeah. The other big match on the show. Well, we can do the tag team title match because there's really not much to say about that. As much as I like both teams. At this point, I just feel like Team Roskaya has kind of been that team that's been like, we can't win, we can't win, we can't win, but we keep on getting title shots anyhow. Because I think they've had, this is their fourth title shot or maybe third on pay-per-view against Team Hell No. Oh, no, wait, no, they were supposed to get one at TLC and that got canceled. The Ryback Punk match got mixed. But they ended up using that on like WWE main event or whatever. So... And
I think it's third. Road Scholars are going to win.
Yeah,
they have to, but yeah. it seems really odd to break up Team Hell No. Like, I guess they don't have to break them up, but they've been doing such a great job as tag team champions. And I don't. I mean, I guess they kind of parlayed this into Kane versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. I don't really see where they would go with the two leading into WrestleMania. And I think defending the tag team titles in some fashion.
What's crazy about it is when they won it, the tag team division seemed to be like on the sprawl, where it was doing really well, and there was all these interesting tag teams, and there were storylines involved around it, and there hasn't been any now.
Everyone got hurt.
Yeah, everyone got hurt, or they're doing other stuff, or like, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
I think part of it was that they found this tag team, and Team Hell No are tag team champions, but like, Daniel Bryan and Kane are interesting characters on their own. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like they don't want to make them just a team. Because they've had tag team titles. I think since they won it, they've defended it maybe once on pay per view. They did the 6-man TLC match. They were part of I think the Survivor Series match at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's because Daniel Bryan and Kane work so well. They make some of the goofiest things possible.
They really do.
Everybody gets hugs.
Like, would it make you better if they give each other a hug? Like, Jerry, I tell Michael, yes. Okay. And then it's like, you two, you start hugging.
Did you folks see SmackDown? I know most of you don't watch it. Because they were in a 6-man tag with Randy Orton, and after the match, they're trying to get him to hug, and he doesn't want to do it. So Kane finally forces him to hug, and then Daniel Bryan has like, this huge grin on his face before making a 3-way hug, and he's just like so ecstatic. And Orton looks like he's ready to kill both.
A video of that.
And Orton just looks like he's ready to kill both of them.
Yeah, Randy Orton was not amused. Yeah, Orton did not look like he was enjoying himself.
Mm-mm.
Well, he wasn't shitting in anybody's bag.
That's true.
Well, not at that moment, anyway.
Later on, however.
Later on, the shit hit the bag.
Oh, that was
I know. That was awful.
You're fired.
I am so awful. No, I've been fired by Ashley at least 1,000 times over. For
and he just keeps coming back.
I know. I'm terrible.
As it turns out, I can't actually fire people from this podcast. I don't have that power.
It would be out of paperwork.
I can book myself in a Royal Rumble match against Katy Perry, which she never accepted. Thank you very much, Katy Perry. But I can't fire Wesley, so that's more of the WWE corporate structure.
Yes. But
I can get a match, and I don't work for the WWE.
But you see, Ashley, if you don't have me around, and you don't get to do, whenever the day comes to a Star Trek episode, you can't say, shut up, Wesley, and actually be able to have it make sense.
Yeah.
So she's going to keep you around for this Star Trek episode.
You win this round, Wesley.
I do win this round.
And, I mean, just somebody else mentioned it. I think they said they actually around this time, Kane and Orton were fighting because Orton didn't want to shake his hand. No, Orton did shake his hand. Is that what happened? Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was weak and human and whatever. And this year they're hugging it out in the middle of the ring.
Yes.
They've come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I is...
The only reason I would want to see Team Hell No break up is if Daniel Bryan is going to win the Rumble and Punk at Mania.
Good God.
But I don't think they're going to do that.
Yep.
That is such a money match.
That, good Lord. I think, I swear, that would just be a good... the Mania crowd would be erupting by the time it was over because it would be killer. It would be like, we'd probably get like a mini Ring of Honor festival happening out of that match. Like Punk Bryan kind of loose.
Yeah, Punk Bryan WrestleMania. And I mean, all of those stars get pulled out. And that is what I want to see. And sadly, that is probably never going to happen.
Yeah, so there's that. I guess the final match on this show is Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio.
You know, yeah. I don't care.
I think Birdo's gonna win. I like Birdo being a face for some reason. I didn't think it would work, but it does.
No, I like that. The thing I really don't care about this is Big Show. Like, Big Show, you have nothing to gain or to lose.
Really, Big Show is now just. He has improved a lot. He is
angry man.
He's just an angry man, but by God, that has helped the Big Show a lot in the past.
And I definitely feel like the caliber of his in-ring work is going better. Like, mm-hmm. You can see that he is moving better than he has in a long time. But I don't. There is nothing compelling me to care whether or not the Big Show wins or loses this title.
Yeah.
And I think it wasn't helped by the fact that he just kind of lost the title in a random SmackDown with no real build-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, though. Like,
I was waiting for them to reverse it.
Yeah, people used to the idea that that doesn't actually happen on these shows, so every so often they pull something like that out. They'd be like, oh, hey, look, no, we did something. Look at that.
I don't mind them switching it. I just like they announced on Raw that there would be a Last Man Standing match, but they didn't announce it would be a title match. And I think if you're gonna do like a world title match mm-hmm. and a gimmick match as a main event, it should have been something that they hyped up. Should have been something they announced the week before on SmackDown.
Well, I almost feel like it's them trying to make it serious, beautiful to watch non pay per view shows.
Yeah.
Because it's the point where you can just watch pay per view. And not care, but if they don't build up to it, you have to keep watching every night, because what if something happens tonight?
Exactly.
It's like, and of course they can't going back to it, and they've been playing footage of it because of Mick Foley going into the Hall of Fame, but The Rock, where he won the title, and it's pretty much just random Rock.
Yeah, it was the infamous one where they announced it. On Raw, because Raw was still taped at that point. And they said, oh, you know what's coming, up on Raw? Mick Foley's for the title. And then everybody switched over to watch that instead.
And I think they actually said, yeah, the output ass is in the seat.
And Stanley from there began the slow downfall of WCW's lead over WWF at the time. Because it was like a little trickle there, I'm trying to remember exactly how long it took before suddenly, oh, WWF on top.
It did not take long.
It took about a couple months. At least about a couple months before suddenly, boom. And the timeline wrong, tell me now, people. Don't hesitate. I can't remember the whole timeline because it was like back and forth, back and forth.
It was. Foley won the title, and then that was in the few months building up to, I think, the WrestleMania with Rock Austin won.
Yeah.
And by the time that Rock Austin won happened, they had pretty much won.
They got it.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, the title was more of a prop that you used to kind of, like, oh, okay, WCW's running a thing. We have to have a title match. We'll change the title here. WWE's running a title match. We'll have to pop something.
Good lord. I mean, by the time WCW started doing the really big stunt matches to try to get that initial for a rating, and...
Let's give the belt to David Arquette.
Okay. All things David Arquette, at least he gave his money to Brian Pillman's widow and to Owen Hart's wife and all the other widows. So he did give to the families. I mean, he gave his money.
Against David Arquette person, as far as I know, it's just kind of really you decided it would be a good idea to put your world type. On an actor.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, you.
It was a poor decision.
When I watched the edition of the Legends Roundtable, they did for the WWE, and they did the and they got the Diamond Dallas Page asking about that, and that was one of the first. That was the first time it came out. Really started coming out. Like, no, David Arquette, he didn't want to do it.
No.
And he really did it, because he really did not want to be champion. But
yeah, it's sad that he had more respect for the company than the company had for the company.
It's like Bischoff, like, oh, I'm champion. Oh, no, you shouldn't.
If you watch the Rise and Fall of WCW, I think it's on Netflix now. You see a lot why that company went down. That was just one part of it. I thought it was...
There are many...
I don't want to say his name, but it begins with Bogan.
Gee, yeah, I wonder what that could mean.
And also Kevin Nash.
Yeah, so to say,
I don't have the guy's name. That dude's terrible.
I mean, it was partially Hogan's ego, and not that any of you watch it. I think TNA is suffering from the same thing because everything's like.
The second Hogan became a big deal. And
they knew
that was
going to
happen.
You put Brooke Hogan in the damn Federation. That's not.
That never happened.
I know.
No, it did. They married Bully Ray? Bully Ray?
No.
I'm just joining the I happen to see that, and yeah.
I don't watch it. I just read about it on with other.
I was briefly like, gee, maybe I should watch this. And then I thought, no, I don't like things that make me hate my life.
I watched it because...
So why do you watch wrestling, Ashley?
Because, you know, like,
I hate myself.
Well, there is... At least the WWE's champion can travel overseas.
Ouch.
Insane.
Which is,
is that why they had to pull Jeff Hardy off the UK tour?
That whole felony.
I didn't realize it was because that didn't even occur to me. But yeah, now that totally makes sense. Jeff Hardy can't.
Yeah. He can't travel. That's why Sting had to join doing the world tour because Jeff Hardy can't travel overseas. So
because yeah, Jeff Hardy does drugs.
There's rumors of him coming back to the E.
There have been rumors about that for the past 6 months.
Yeah, I don't think Vince really, considering, let's put that out, that Vince has, right now he's pulling the NXT stock. And the NXT, wrestlers, they have a lot, I mean, they're showing some damn potential already. And and pretty much, if Vince, the only person I could see, like everyone's like saying, oh, MVP might come back soon. Maybe.
Yeah, him and Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin? Maybe.
Wait, are there actually rumors of Shelton Benjamin coming back?
Yeah, both him and MVP coming back. It's been rumored for like a month or so.
You know, I would totally love to see Shelton Benjamin back.
Like that's been like the big rumor that one of them is going to show up the Royal Rumble.
What anymore?
Not bringing Charlie Haas with Shelton Benjamin, but being Charlie Haas on special terms with the Wii, so I think Shelton left on better terms.
Yeah,
well,
but
that's when El Generico show up eventually.
But if I was Shelton,
well, if he'll change his gimmick to death, then
if I was Shelton Benjamin, good. Or if I was MVP, I'd look at what they did to Tenzai when he came back from Japan, and how far his stock has fallen in.
Oh,
that.
Tenzai's the Shockmaster. I swear to you, after when he tripped on the slammies. Thanks to Botchamania reminding me of that, and I actually now went to see Shockmaster just come in with a, like basically like his own version of the Shockmaster gimmick and just find that same sparkly blue above Stormtrooper helmet and come down the aisle, and
I'd
love that.
I want Tenzai to join Zack Ryder's Goth Gang.
Yeah,
I don't know if we could have like a mid-card Mafia type thing, except
that would be
for
awesome.
The mid-card Gothia.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That was me.
Yay! I won't fire you, Ashley, though. I wouldn't fire you.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yep.
The thing about Jeff Hardy coming back, I would see Vince doing it if it would piss somebody off that he wanted to piss off.
Yeah.
Because Vince is an angry, bitter, vengeful man, and if he could fuck somebody over by bringing Jeff Hardy back, he would do it.
Yeah. And Dixie's still putting a lot into the Jeff Hardy being the world champion, and considering that very fun little lawsuit they had recently with TNA that prevented them from getting Ric Flair in there for a while, I see it.
I've come to accept that I truly believe Cranky Vince on Twitter is Vince McMahon. Like, the director, I love it. It was fun. A few weeks ago on Raw, where he was talking about sticking my tongue in a random stranger's ear, and his very next tweet was, fuck, it's my ear!
I'm sorry, I got a new app and I'm playing around with it on my phone.
Oh, shit, man.
It's shiny. Oh, I mean,
it's called, what is this called? It's a picture app. It's like, what is it called? I don't remember now. But it takes images you use, like you could take a picture, use ones you already have, and purposefully corrupts the file. So it makes these really interesting like effects on it, and you can stack them or put them in whatever order you want, and it changes the image enough that it looks like weird or cool or whatever.
Ah.
Let's try this. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, kind of. Who has the background noise?
It's me in the other room. Okay.
Is that the same? We've talked about the entire card. There's very not
well,
much else
on
the show.
There's a pre-show match of Antonio Cesaro versus The Miz.
Wait, that's the pre-show?
I know.
Well, no, the pre-show is like a 30-minute battle royale.
If you go into the... Oh, they must have... They haven't changed it yet. Because I was on the WWE's website right now.
Oh, yeah, they just announced it, apparently.
Yeah.
Is it the U.S. title match?
Yeah, it's the U.S. title for champion versus The Miz.
Yeah.
I guess. Did they change it on me already?
No, no. It's the match. It's just been confirmed. So they hate breaking news that really won't count since this goes up on Friday.
Yeah.
Face Miz, thumbs down or thumbs way
down?
Yeah,
I don't like it. The problem is he hasn't differentiated him enough from heel Miz. He's doing all the exact same stuff, except he's just doing it to bad guys now.
Yeah, except, like, I feel like it's because of that, he's kind of devolved into Cena level of poopy jokes and you're stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the way to do a forced heel face turn, like, is the way they did with Del Rio, is just give him a reason to be a face. Like, they just kind of. Del Rio always had that part of his character where Ricardo was his friend, and mm-hmm. didn't matter what, if someone messed with Ricardo, he got mad. So they just kind of took that and ran with it as the reason he's a good guy now. There was a way to do that with The Miz. Like, I've seen this pointed out elsewhere. He is, like, the perfect audience avatar for the WWE fan, is that he was just a fan who, through, you know, quirk of fate, being on a certain show and then working at it, he got to become a wrestler. Why don't they play that angle up more as ascended fanboy?
That'd be fun.
I think they
want to try and play up the famous angle with him because he's got that movie coming out, and that's pretty much why he got the face turn.
I was going to say the other thing is it seems like that whole, like, rise from the ranks is kind of what they've been running away from, because that's always kind of been seen as his weakness. Even as a heel, he would bring that up as, like, his down, you know, like, nobody thought he'd make it into the company. People thought he was a joke. He came from reality TV, and it's kind of been that image that they've been trying to get away from. And I kind of agree with Nick. It would be nicer for them to play it up. Because, like, that promo he did at WrestleMania 27, where they showed that his, you know, his progression as a WWE superstar was something mm-hmm. along that lines. But in the fact that he was a heel and, like, how far I made it against these people. But now he can kind of be like, oh, you know what? I was one of you guys. I know how it is. I worked my ass off to get here. The problem is, and we mentioned this at the start of the show, is that part of what he's been doing was Miss TV, and that has been terrible.
Not just terrible. We're talking. During the Raw where he had that thing with Ric Flair, I didn't watch a single minute of it. I decided just go away from my TV and get myself something to drink and a little snack. I was like, I'm not
bothering watching this. Past week, didn't he botch the figure four?
Yeah.
Did he botch the figure four?
No. He did not botch the figure four. I mean, that would mean that he actually applied to move at some point.
He barely even, it's like he botched it and then they just did, and it was, like, merciful that Biggie Langston was set up to do the pull the Ziggler over to the ropes. Just go, okay, good. Glad Big E is part of this thing because.
Let's be honest. What's going to happen is one of two things. Either Cesaro is going to beast him to death and boss him, as Tom says, he's going to boss him to the center of the earth. Or Cesaro is going to somehow give up the title and then move on and become the best wrestler in the world and win all the championships at once.
Cesaro.
Don't tell me my fanfic is incorrect.
No, your fanfic is fine, actually. It's a little light on me and Brad Maddox hooking up, or as I prefer to call him, hot referee.
What's even funnier is when I was watching a few weeks ago, he showed up on TV. My girlfriend's like, "Who's that guy?" I was like, "Oh, you know, my friend calls him hot referee." She said, "He is."
He's just hot referee. He gets no other name. He deserves no other name until
she doesn't care anything about. She just
disagrees
that yes, he's attractive. Though I was questioning his sartorial choices yesterday of that shirt with that vest.
Oh my god, what the hell? I'm at hot referee. Actually, no, it's funny that you mentioned fanfic, Nick, like you do so often. It was actually back in the day, I brought this up on Snarking Out last night when The Rock was going on and on and on. Years ago, I actually wrote a parody of The Princess Bride, recasting it with wrestlers.
Whoa, really?
Seriously?
Yes, yes.
That's awesome.
And it was, and the reason I brought it up is because the ROUSs It was rocks of unusual size. And so as Jericho, who was Wesley in this version, it's rocks of unusual size. I don't think they exist. And then he's basically attacked by the Rock, who is just yelling garbled versions of his catchphrases. And I've realized, my God, that's what the Rock has become. Even more so than he used to be. Because he's just like, if you smell, just bring pie. That was also the one where the Holly cousins were the kidnappers. And Crash Holly was Fessick.
Wow.
Crash Holly is like, I'm a giant! I'm a giant! Oh, memories.
Wow.
I wrote horrible things once upon a time.
So, yeah, I mean, anything else you folks want to talk about as far as the Royal Rumble goes?
I'm sure we're going to see another match or two added to it.
I don't think so, because if they do what they usually do, they have backstage skits, you have the random segments of people picking their numbers.
We're going to see a women's match added.
Yeah.
Caitlin versus somebody.
Caitlin versus Layla, I thought.
Caitlin versus Layla, or I know there was
Tamina
versus Tamina this past week.
Yeah.
Both of which I have to see.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bad at all.
I mean, I don't know what you folks' thoughts on her, but I think Caitlin versus AJ at WrestleMania is an easy story to write.
That would be fun.
That's WrestleMania. They have to build up to that. That would be great.
I mean, they don't even have to build up to that because they have 2 years of stories with those two. Their best friend and her best friend kind of snapped.
They used to be a tag team together as the Chick Busters. And
Chick Busters.
And every time her best friend snapped, she would slap her, and then they'd make up and she'll slap her again. And so they have like that animosity.
Are you sure this isn't your slash ficker?
No. I mean, Kate and AJ. Like,
you can't make this up.
Because at first she was upset because Caitlin was kind of talking to her about her unhealthy relationship with Daniel Bryan, and she ended up smacking her for that. And then when she was like with CM Punk and Kane, she ended up smacking her for that. And then when she became a GM, I think when Caitlin became the number one contender, there was a segment where she tried to make up with her and be nice to her about becoming the number one contender, and then she just broke down laughing in her face.
Yep, I remember that.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
So they do have a history between the two of them. But yeah, it would be interesting. But we'll cover that in like 3 months when we hit the road to WrestleMania. Because it's written in the stars a million miles away. But yes.
Wow. Yeah, because WrestleMania is already... Like, they're almost at the point where we're going, yeah. Because, by the way, back to a little thing of the deep thing is, holy crap, the sad part of that last match of Caitlyn and Eve was, wow, this was... We're like, wow, this is really good.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty decent match.
And then,
because they gave them time to do it.
They gave them more than 2 minutes!
Oh, and I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember if it was Chris Sims or Brandon Stroud who tweeted something about, damn it, Eve, how dare you pull a Batista?
It
stuck
Brandon
for so long,
Stroud,
but really good, and then leave.
That was Brandon Stroud, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember his thing. He said it in a column.
Yeah, it was the same thing with Batista, where Batista became that, like, you know, like, kissing fat chicks, and John Cena does it the first where he wants to be ill. And he was awesome! And then he quit.
Yep.
Eve just hit her stride.
Mm-hmm. Eve, that last little bit of Eve, I'm like, wow, that was awesome. She's, damn it. And she's gone. Because Caitlin, and that, so that spear Caitlin gave Eve, Eve made Caitlin golden by the end. That was like,
yeah, that's
well, and they worked so well together, and
they worked well.
It sucks when you find that like that part that opponent that brings out the best of you, because Caitlin has improved a lot in the ring over the past months, and. Now she's kind of stuck fighting Aisha Fox, who has been around for God knows what and still can't read basics.
She heel face? What is she?
She's a Kelly.
Fox. She is whatever they need her to be for that day.
She is whatever her spirit hoodie says she is.
She had the Kelly Kelly entrance yesterday, if you know. She walked in, she's just pointing at everyone and waving. That was it.
You know what I love? When they did the Slammies this year, they couldn't have a Diva of the Year category because all of the nominees are gone.
Yeah.
But like, Kelly, Kelly, oh, Beth Venus.
Natalia! Wait, what are we doing with her?
We're having her interview.
Wasting
people.
The best female wrestler on a roster? No, that's not possible.
Well, yeah, the best female wrestler you're actually letting wrestle. And, you know, not counting the one that you hired and made a trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I saw Sarah Del Rey wrestle on some of the Ring of Honor stuff she was doing, I was like, damn! Holy crap! And, like, and then she goes in the wheel, like,
She's training.
She's just training. That's sad.
I saw her live tag team with Saturine against the Vatiri.
Ah.
At the Chikara show in Philly in last June, and it was awesome. Two chicks taking on three dudes and, like, kicking their ass.
And she's just down in Florida, training.
Well, maybe eventually they'll be like, hey, maybe we should let Sarah Del Rey wrestle.
Wait a minute, women don't wrestle. They're just going to have tits. Just take them out on you. Take them out. Show them Papa Pins. Yes.
Licking Kidman's ear and Gorilla.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Just grabbed a massive ass. Oh, wait, that was Caitlyn's ass. Oh, God. Yeah.
You have to end every sentence with his signature catchphrase, though.
Fuck you.
There you go.
Although, it's I would actually love to see the cranky Vince account have a conversation with the Iron Sheik.
Yes! I love that! Who the cranky Vince?
Iron Sheik's reaction to the new Hall of Fame inductee.
Oh, yeah, we should mention, I mean, we can end on those two, because they have announced that Bob Backlund is going into the Hall of Fame, and I think Bob Backlund's an interesting fellow. I have no idea what his first tenure in the WWF was like, but I do remember him as a crazy guy.
He was awesome! He was awesome crazy man.
Oh, man. Not only that, but we also got awesome evil Owen Hart, which I think is a heel they don't do often enough anymore, the Siamese Scuzzball.
The best part about reading, it was Chris Jericho's first book, I do believe, and he talked about his tour with Bob Backlund. And Bob Backlund would only give someone an autograph if they named, like, all the U.S. presidents in order. Someone did.
Yeah,
shit.
And he gave them an autograph. And he was very impressed. Chris Jericho was witness to it, and he was like, damn. That was, like, the funniest story. I'm like, wow. Bob Backlund was like, damn. Pretty impressed. Yeah, it was pretty glorious. And Bob Backlund seeing him pop up, you know, because his thing when he did that Legends thing with Raw, that was fun to see him just pop up. He's still in good shape. That's the thing. Bob Backlund's still in good shape. I mean, you could still use him for the occasional match if you really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Just that the audience seemed to remember him for the most.
There was, I forget what year it was, where he was in the Royal Rumble as a surprise entrance.
Wasn't it 2000?
He walked, they announced him, he walked under the ring, got in, immediately got thrown out, and then walked out.
But the audience loved it. It was like, yeah!
Oh, there was another. Yeah, there was another, yeah. It was 2000 when he was campaigning, and he got eliminated, and he started walking around the ring asking people to support his campaign.
Yeah! Bob Backlund is just this perfect, crazy man. And
I think
have him pop up, be crazy, beat the crap out of Heath Slater.
Yeah, I think he realized, unlike some other people in wrestling, that his time has passed. So he's okay with being the crazy uncle.
He's more than happy being the crazy uncle. I'm kind of hoping that, you know what I wouldn't mind as this whole thing, like a lot of these legends that popped up? Because they already had, they had Bob Backlund pop up during, and it would actually be interesting to me if they, one, they need to put Macho Man in the Hall, put him in the Hall of Fame, just do it.
They're not going to because of his brother.
Yeah, but yeah, still.
It's his brother saying that, he said before he died that he would only go in if all of us went in, which they're not going to, yeah.
Which I kind of believe, because I believe that was the reason that his father went to the WCW Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think that was part of his contract for signing with them. Which, you know, it's a noble thing, I guess, if you're really into family. I don't know. As much as I enjoy the genius, I don't think he's Hall of Fame bound.
He's just the proto Sandow at this point.
It wouldn't surprise me if Vader actually popped up in Hall of Fame negotiations.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It wouldn't shock me because, and the thing of it is, when Vader was in that match with Heath Slater, damn!
He did really good.
I mean, the man's in like his late 50s. And he pulled off a hell of a damn match. And when the fans said, "You still got it," they were not even making it up. They're like, no, he still got it. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, I assume in the upcoming years, we're going to see people like Kevin Nash, Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see Goldberg.
If Goldberg will negotiate to appear.
I wonder if they ever put Scott Hall in all that gun way until he dies.
I've heard that's a rumor for this year, actually, that they're going to induct the Click in its entirety.
Yeah.
Which would include Scott Hall, of course.
Well, right now, Scott Hall's in DDP-sponsored rehab.
Yep. Okay. And Jake the Snake, because of that, him and Jake the Snake are both apparently being talked about.
Yeah. I actually would not mind it, and to see, and like basically DDP, like kind of bring, like basically getting Jake the Snake and Scott Hall cleaned up and all, basically getting in decent shape again. I'm like, that'd be cool just to see them have that and, you know, stay cleaned up. That would be even better. That would make me very happy.
I have the one name that I saw thrown around, which actually made me raise my eyebrow, was Trish Stratus was rumored for this year.
That was, damn.
It was actually really funny. Because I saw it on a blog where apparently there were a bunch of Lita fans that were like, how dare they put Trish in there before Lita? And I'm like, whoa, guys, think about it. If Lita's not in the Hall of Fame, she could still be an active competitor if she chooses to come back.
Mm-hmm.
She should.
Yeah, I mean, but that doesn't necessarily mean you retired. See Ric Flair.
He's in there twice and he hasn't retired.
Ric Flair, they won't let... The one thing is, they can have Ric Flair pop up for physical things. They just can't have him actually wrestle.
Yeah, but I mean, he technically wrestled in TNA after his first induction, but I guess nobody counts that.
I would say after what happened to Jerry Lawler, you'll see them be very...
Okay, he wrestled after being inducted, too.
It's like, well, like Lawler, when he was still wrestling after he got inducted, and he still...
Yeah, but I think, I mean, while he was, I mean, he was kind of inducted half as a commentator, half as a wrestler, even though he still commentates, I guess, even though I wouldn't mind if he retired from that. Because there's nothing I love more than listening on a Monday night to him and Cole snicker at Rock's jokes.
Yeah, that's pretty painful.
Yeah. So I think we're good. We're going to start wrapping.
Yeah, because we've only got so much more. We got the show covered, I mean.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I am probably going to play the Royal Rumble. It's not a drinking game that's drinking involved, but it's just some goofy stuff my friends came up with last year so that we would be more invested. Because, you know, like, there's always the forerunners, but you kind of, like, you get random numbers assigned to you, and depending on who you get and what they do, you get different stipulations added. So last year I had to wear a sombrero the entire time. Because the person if the person eliminates themselves, what we call a big boss man rule.
What?
you have to wear the sombrero, and like my person did and nobody else did for us in the show. So it does give you an, it gives you an added investment into the match itself, and it's kind of fun.
Or like, what do you guys do if like a surprise, like a surprise entrance pop in?
Well, it's not. You don't pick a person. You pick. Okay. You get 1 through 30, and everybody picks a number out of a hat, and you just go through until all 30 are taken up. Yeah, so this way you can end up like 3MB for all your picks and then kind of be screwed over.
Yeah, baby!
Oh, I think you also have to do something if one of your picks throws out another one of your picks and all this other stuff. So it's just a kind of, it's a meta game because you're keeping track of all your competitors in the Royal Rumble, what they're doing, so you're kind of more invested in what's going on during the match. So it's kind of fun. Next week we are trying to do, we're going to come up with something to do for the Nerd Bowl too. This Nerd Bowl one, still hasn't been decided.
No, I won.
And no, it's going to be decided when Nick and I fight to the death at some point.
Yeah, because I'm keeping out of that death match.
No, I won.
Because I don't want to be in a three-way dance with, so.
Yeah, but you guys, I won.
No.
Just
let Nick win.
I'm gonna clap you guys. I like telling
you. No.
Just let him win.
You're like a naughty cat, Nick. I feel like I should spray you with a spray bottle or something.
Hey, girl.
Sad.
You need to watch Adventure Time, Earl, then you'll get these jokes.
One day. It's on obvious. It's right underneath
the One day more till revolution. We will nip it in the bud. We'll be ready for the schoolboys. They will wet themselves with blood.
Right. It's right under our brawny episode.
I don't like this conversation.
I will discover what I got in heaven has in store. One more doll. Wait, sorry, what?
I seriously fucked shit up. Don't tell Koss that.
Mary's complaining. France still not free.
Eddie.
Oh, Lord.
For Ashie, Nicholas, Wesley, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rock, episode 121.
Warning to the